dancer or the way it affects any character in the movie. And that, yeah, that's just bad writing.
Would you watch this again?
No, absolutely not.
I absolutely would. Okay, once again, you've been listening to Fresh Hop Cinema, possibly on KZFR 90.1 FM. Amsterdam is currently in a theater near you. If you've seen it and you have thoughts of your own, you can reach us again on Instagram at fresh_hop_cinema or send an email to fhccast@gmail.com. To our radio listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next and every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. on KZFR 90.1 FM.
And as a reminder, if you want to hear the rest of this here conversation, which includes spoilers for Amsterdam, a review of that second beer by myself, and Hot and Bothered, head over to your favorite podcast app and subscribe to us, Fresh Hop Cinema. The rest of this episode will be available tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., so have some coffee and get us in your ears. To those of you already listening on your favorite podcast app, we will be right back. Fresh Hop Cinema is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by The Handlebar, offering 28 taps of craft beer, German-inspired pub fare, and an outdoor patio on 20th Street in Chico, next to Winco. Open every day at 12 noon. The Handlebar, a specialty beer bar for the adventurer. Check out The Handlebar on Facebook or call 894-BEER for more information. And by Affordable Automotive, now with four locations to serve you. Affordable on Park Ave, Affordable Automotive West at West Sac and Nord, Chico Custom Classics at 1024 West 8th Street, and Chico Auto Care Ace Radiator at 9th and Ivy, the only radiator shop in Butte County. From basic vehicle maintenance to major repairs, the Affordable Automotive family of shops has been entrusted with over 26 years of service. Appointments and details, call 530-892-1774 or visit chicoautomotive.com. If you enjoyed this program, you can now go to kzfr.org and tip this show.
And you are tuned to listener-supported community radio, 90.1 KZFR Chico, everywhere at kzfr.org. It's time for Butte Views and Beyond. Alrighty, thank you for tuning in. Butte Views and Beyond, my name's Ray Lager. I'll be your host this evening here. Kind of getting chilly out here, sun going down. Getting ready for the weekend. Nice Thursday evening here in Northern California. Hope you're having a great evening wherever you're hearing me. Hey, maybe it's morning where you are, who knows? Alrighty, we want to thank Ken Clark, Eternal Funk, our theme song here on Butte Views and Beyond. And we'd like to look at the artistic, cultural, economic development kind of issues that that support arts and cultural tourism, those kind of things throughout the greater upstate California area. So you can kind of venture out beyond Butte County. And I've got some interesting interviews tonight. I hope you that you find them interesting as well. A lot of things happening as always, and we're going to kind of stay in the arts and talk about some programs that are coming down the line to help our communities. So again, thank you for tuning in. Let's start off with our first interview right here on Butte Views and Beyond.
I would like to welcome Eliza Tudor, who is the Executive Director for the Nevada County Arts Council, to Butte Views and Beyond. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Hi, Ray. It's great to be with you today.
Now, you guys, of course, we have not every county in California has an arts council. What is there, 54 counties and 50?
Yeah, you're getting close. It's 58 counties, and I think there are 54 county arts councils, and we're part of a state local program with the California Arts Council. So we all report in to the mothership, which is California Arts Council. And at the same time, we also report into our individual county boards of supervisors, from whom we get like a resolution once a year. So you and I would be very familiar with that. We're probably the most accountable arts organizations in our local areas, aren't we?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, and then of course we have our local people as well, which is great.
Yeah.
And you guys are involved in it's kind of a big concept. So let's give it to them in small bites. The Upstate California Creative Corps, right?
That's right. And this is one part of a extraordinary statewide pilot under California Arts Council, with workforce development funds directly from the governor as part of the 2021 state budget, which are to be used for putting artists to work. So we know that at any given time, there are issues that are critical to society, and the state is at last recognizing the value of artists in being able to create messaging around these issues that are so important to us in our local communities. And that's what this grant is all about. We want to put artists to work, and also perhaps provide grants to arts organizations and social service organizations that in turn are putting artists to work. So this is really like a fabulous opportunity for local artists in Butte County, and in fact all over the state right now.
Yeah, and this is happening statewide, but you've kind of divided into different regions, upstate being kind of north of Sacramento.
That's right. So California Arts Council thought the best way for us to recognize the differences between geographic regions and the diverse populations within our enormous state is to divide it up into several regions. And the region that we are collectively responsible for as county arts agencies, arts councils, is Upstate California. So within Upstate California, there are 19 counties covering some of the most diverse geography, you know, mountain ranges, oceans, lakes, river systems, watersheds, high desert valleys. It's extraordinary. So we've got our work cut out for us as we reach across this geography and then work together as county arts councils. It's going to be a lot of fun over a 2-year period.
Yeah, and this is not, you know, we talked about this in the meetings. This is kind of like the public works projects of during the Depression.
Absolutely.
Not on that grand a scale where they're building bridges and libraries and things like that. But it's getting artists involved in getting back to work and in helping raise the living standards in these communities.
Absolutely. And raising awareness for some of the issues that perhaps can be solved through working across sectors, for example. And you're absolutely right. You mentioned the Works Project Administration. It's like lovingly known as the WPA, which I think started in the sort of mid-30s and went all the way through to the mid-40s, and put some of artists that we think of as, you know, that are household names, like Jackson Pollock, to work.
Yeah.
In programs that provided comprehensive employment and training. And of course, it follows like this unprecedented 2.5 years where we've been, suffering horribly. Communities have been suffering like never before for decades as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we've been very, very isolated. So this is one really critical project that sort of aims to bring people together with artists, at the forefront of the public eye. And it's extremely interesting. In fact, the eyes of the nation are upon California right now. It's the first statewide program pilot that's been run since the WPA. So it's very exciting. If this can be successful, then it can become a case study for other states and other communities across the nation to follow.
Yeah, that's really huge when you stop and when you stop back and look at it. It's like, okay, this is a big thing. So, 19 counties in the upstate region,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds like you're going to go through some your traveling shoes on this. You're going to be visiting all 19 counties and help conduct listening tours in each area. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And we're developing a website so that folks can find out where their local listening tour is. And I think by the end of the week, this website should be live. And it's very easy to find us. It's literally upstatecreativecorps.org. So Upstate Creative Corps. Corps spelt like an army, CORPS.org, upstatecreativecorps.org. Yep, we're going from county to county. And we're going to do listening sessions in every county in the upstate region before Thanksgiving, at least by mid-December in time for Christmas, because by early January, the State Agency for the Arts, California Arts Council, is going to want to hear from us, you know, with our comprehensive plans for what the grant program will actually look like and how artists can get involved. And we're hoping that by early February, the grant program will actually open up for artists.
Great, excellent. And of course, it's coming to our community. It's coming to Butte County, mm-hmm. and that's going to be on November 10th at the fabulous Museum for Northern California Art, better known as MONCA, mm-hmm. right across from Chico High School, 900 Esplanade, mm-hmm. 5:30 to 7:30. So that's really exciting that we're going to have this, and this is also part of a public outreach and announcement of artists and arts organizations or community organizations, community leaders, municipals, countywide leaders to come and help create this and help put input into the conversation.
And this is where it gets interesting. So the state is using a specific method of evaluating relative success of the project. And we're going to be talking about this when we meet with you, Ray, in Butte, and with your community. We're going to be talking about something called the California Healthy Places Index, which is a whole new way at looking at the relative health of communities across California. And we're going to kind of make it very, very simple, easy to grasp. It's absolutely fascinating. And then we're going to turn it to our attendees, and we're going to ask questions of our attendees, like, this is what we're seeing about Butte. Now you tell us about Butte. And let's come up with some interesting ways that we can work across sectors to tackle some of these issues that are common to us all.
Yeah. And it is really inspiring, you know, when you think about the kind of the public art projects or the, and not just public art projects, but as we talked about earlier, dance, music, things that have inspired or have helped raise the human consciousness of each other. You know, it's such a big thing that it's hard to be like, oh yeah, we're going to create a mural on this corner and that's it. This is so omnipresent and huge.
Very much so. And I know the state is looking to artists to come up with really innovative ideas, like, what would this look like beyond the scope of the grant? Like, so the grant activity period runs from, you know, from February to autumn, the fall of 2024. So that's a year. What's it going to look like after that? Will any of these ideas have stuck? Will we have moved the needle on any of these issues? And so we're going to be talking about this when we're in Butte County next week. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. I can tell there's going to be a lot of very interesting deliberations and conversations, and we're going to come out knowing a lot more than we do today.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll give a little more information again. That's going to be on Thursday, November 10th at the Museum of Northern California Art, 900 Esplanade, 5:30 till 7:30. Everyone, you know, people are welcome to come and learn and put their input in. There will be a granting process that, like you said, is going to come out in the spring. This is really a listening for the community to help share their desires and concerns and help mold this process.
Absolutely, and come up with some fascinating ideas. And Ray, like we were saying just, you know, before we were talking today, we really want to be able to offer special accommodations for those in need of, you know, ASL, that's American Sign Language interpretation, or if we need to have some language interpreters with us, that's absolutely fine. We're totally happy to provide that support. And maybe they can just reach out to you and you can pass this on, Ray. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And we'll also have remote access as well. And that's going to be on our Friends of the Arts Facebook page. And then also on the website that you had mentioned that is launching on Friday, Upstate Creative Corps, CORPS.org. And that'll be coming live. And you're starting in Quincy tomorrow, so you're ready to go on this, ready to rock. Or on Tuesday, sorry, I forgot we're pre-recording. But on Tuesday in Quincy, and you start in Quincy and you end up in Truckee. That's a big loop.
I know, that's absolutely right. Well, we'll be actually up in Modoc in Alturas at the end of the week, which is really exciting. So we're going to be traversing a wide range of geography, and some of these places I haven't even been to myself. So I have a good learning in front of me. I'm very excited about meeting communities across the upstate region with our state local partner, our county arts councils, support. I'm very excited about us all working together as arts councils. This is such fun.
Yeah, it is going to be fun, and you're going to get to see some extremely beautiful places as you you go from Modoc to Mendocino. I mean, you know, up and down the state, beautiful.
Absolutely. Beautiful. But I'm glad that we're going to be coming to Butte as one of the first counties, and there's so much that's happened in Butte County, as we know. You know, you've had your fair share of devastating periods, and the population has suffered. And yet there is so much potential, and we're just so looking forward to hearing about all this when we visit.
Yeah, that's great. We're happy to have you and host you. And again, that's going to be on Thursday, November 10th at the Museum of Northern California Art, 900 Esplanade at Monca, 5:30 to 7:30. All are welcome. There'll be some pre-registration, but you can register on site as well. And that will be up on our Facebook page. You'll be seeing some advertising about this and publicity around. So Friends of the Arts Facebook page. And then, of course, let's give that website again, Upstate Creative Corps, CORPS.org is the overall landing zone for all this information.
Great, Ray. What a pleasure to talk with you today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And, have yourself a wonderful evening.
Alrighty. Very, very exciting event coming up. And again, I just want to talk about that just a little bit more. The Upstate California Creative Corps, which is a granting process that's going to begin in the spring. And really, the listening tour isn't for the attendees to listen. It's for the organizers of this event to listen and to really understand what each community is looking for and help them achieve those goals. Again, it's kind of like the WPA projects of the 30s, kind of a public works thing. The funding is coming down through the state, and it's to really help put artists back to work in all genres and in all. This is not just for individual artists. This is for arts organizations. This is for school districts. This is for public health, mental health, you name it. If they're looking to have that kind of the element of artistic creativity put into their process, this is an opportunity and a great one. If you get a chance to attend, it's going to be at Monca, the Museum of Northern California Art, on Thursday, November 10th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. There's a little introduction. There's a slideshow, kind of talks about some of the criteria the state is looking for. And then it really just opens up to listening to what the community needs. I attended the one in Plumas on Tuesday, and it was surprising when you really stop and listen and you start to kind of walk back the different areas of need. And it really, where does it, you know, it walks back to simple things like, how do we keep teachers from staying? You know, they've had like three principals in 2 years. So they're educators or their doctors and nurses are moving on and jumping ship. Housing is a big, big problem in Plumas County, especially after the North Complex fires last year. And of course, there's a lot of work going on. So there's a lot of workers coming in. So it's tough. And we face a lot of those problems here in Butte County as well. So it's really interesting. If you're a thinker, if you like to problem solve, if you're a community builder, if you are a leader of an organization that touches into that, really consider stopping in and coming. I think it would be a very well spent couple hours. So we'll have information up on the Friends of the Arts website or our Facebook page here really soon, and then of course on the pre-mentioned website. All righty, let's take a musical break. Thanks for tuning in, Butte Views and Beyond. A little salsa to get you warm you up tonight. Oh, yeah. It'll get you going. It'll get you dancing. Charlie Palmieri, Latin Boogaloo, name of the album, Bittersweet, right here on Facets. Or Facets. I'm not a Facets of Jazz. I'm not Facets of Jazz, right? Butte Views and Beyond. And it is the Halloween weekend coming up, and KZFR is hosting a Halloween Jamboree, if you haven't heard. It's going to be on Saturday the 29th at the beautiful El Rey Theater, right there downtown across from campus. Doors at 7, show at 8, featuring the Low Flying Birds, and also Dylan's Dharma with special guests King Hopeton and Ronnie Jean. So another fun KZFR event coming up. You know, we had Ray Wiley Hubbard and Todd Snyder last week. Well, we got the Halloween Jamboree coming for you. Saturday night, doors at 7, show at 8. Tickets at the door. You know the rub. Should be a fun one. And I also wanted to mention also that if you're into spoken word, you like to help the youths of America, especially of Butte County, you might consider getting involved with Poetry Out Loud, which is a student poetry, I don't want to say competition, but showcase. How about that? How about showcase? Anyway, they are looking for some judges. The event is on November 8th, 10 a.m. till 12 p.m., Butte County Board of Education at their boardroom at 1859 Bird Street in Oroville. So if you're interested or you want some more information, you can contact Mary Ellen Garry, and I'll give you that email. It's MGARRAHY, and it's at BCOE, Butte County Office of Education, BCOE.org. So they'd love to get some people to sign up and come down and help judge the Poetry Out Loud this year. This has been going on a number of years. It's a great showcase, and Oroville has really taken it on for themselves and to make it their own, and they've been one of the few schools that have been continuing it year after year after year, and a big shout-out to Mary Ellen for doing that, because it always takes somebody in the trenches to make it all happen, and we are very, very grateful for your participation and help on that. So let's see. Let's kick out another tune here quick, and I just stumbled into this one. I thought, oh, this could be a fun one for today's show. Oh, yeah. Pete Guitar Lewis from Scratchin', maybe the CD, album, whatever you call it, album, I guess. Louisiana Hop. Louisiana Hop right there. All righty, let's drop into our next interview. And speaking of Butte County Office of Education, we're going to speak with their arts education person, Jennifer Spangler, right here on Butte Views.
I would like to welcome Jennifer Spangler, who is the Arts Education Coordinator for the Butte County Office of Education, to tonight's program. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond, Jennifer.
Thank you, Ray. Thanks for inviting me.
For sure. A couple of things I wanted to talk to you about, a couple of programs you're involved with. And let's start off with the Any Given Child, which is a pretty dynamic event.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking me about it. It's a really exciting opportunity for Butte County and particularly for three Oroville school districts who we are focusing on initially. The Ensuring the Arts for Any Given Child initiative is a national program of the Kennedy Center out of DC. It's their education program. And what they've done is they take proposals from districts around the country, and then periodically they invite us to become what they call Any Given Child site. And a couple of years ago, I spoke with the superintendents of three Oroville school districts and asked them if they would be interested in making a proposal for this. And they agreed because all three are interested in expanding arts education for their students. These school districts are K-8 school districts, and they're Oroville City Elementary School District, Palermo School District, and Thermalito School District. And they agreed, and I got the support of the superintendent of Butte County Office of Ed, Mary Sakuma, and we came up with this wonderful application that emphasized how being rural schools and lower socioeconomic schools, the opportunities for arts education are very limited. Yeah. And in fact, in much less of an opportunity for students than in urban areas.
Yeah, that's great. And again, coming out of the Kennedy Center, they've got a powerful amount of knowledge to help and help us. So what does it look like? So is this to bring arts programming into the K-8 school?
Well, it's a little more organic and community based. It's called a collective impact project, which means that my job a year ago was to bring together a diverse group of community members to be on a committee. We call it the community arts team. And this initially represented about 30 members and their representatives from the school districts, teachers and administrators, but also service organizations like the Rotary Club, businesses like there's a representative from Ray Morgan, then Intune Music Foundation, there's a representative from the Union Restaurant, and arts organizations like Monca, like Slow Theater, and then teaching artists are all part of this broad group that has undergone a process in the last year of strategic planning to collect data and identify gaps and then come up with some goals for our next phase, which will be the implementation phase. And we've been working with Kennedy Center consultants for this past year under their facilitation. And as you said, they have a lot of knowledge to help us understand what we have as resources and where the gaps are.
Oh, that's great. And it sounds like you have such a broad brush of community members. I mean, so it's not just coming from one aspect to really help, like you said, fill these gaps and find what services will be most effective.
And that's the key to it, Ray, is that we don't want the school districts to feel like they're on their own. And so that's why it's not just looking to the school districts to do all this work. This is, this is to bring resources to them and also for this community to develop a vision for arts education in the Oroville area. And that's because the Kennedy Center believes that it's a community job to, you know, have a broad vision for what they want the students to be able to learn and an understanding of where the students will go from that there and how they'll become better citizens and employable. And we developed a vision statement as a community arts team that, you know, says what we see as, you know, the long-term goal.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, I mean, you've got to have these aspects in the schools to keep the interest up. Every child learns differently. You know, every art form is a lot more than just a creative process. It teaches you how to think. It teaches Absolutely. You how to line up your tasks. It teaches you arithmetic and mathematics. It teaches, you know, it's language skills. It's all these things that are rolled into, you know, well, I just thought I was taking a painting class. Well, there's a lot more going on than you're aware of.
Don't you know it, Ray, but that's part of the work is to help other people understand what's involved in arts education. So many people just think it's either playing an instrument or creating an artwork. Right. And there's so much more to it that you know because of your background and experience. But part of it is to help others understand that, too, and where the opportunity is in a program that's broad and available to all students.
Yeah, just the, you know, creative thinking. That's the key to every problem, no matter what it is. And that's what you learn in working in the arts. It's that simple.
Absolutely. And that's also an increasingly, it's an increasing job requirement for the 21st century.
Yeah.
And so, it really helps make the students more employable, which people don't think intuitively that an arts degree helps that or arts education, but in fact it does. Yeah. So shall I tell you some of the gaps that we found? We last April went through an extensive survey with teachers and administrators in the 13 schools that are that comprise the three districts. And we found that students across the districts in K-8 are not receiving the same number of minutes of art instruction, and that there's a lack of a variety of arts disciplines represented, and that, in fact, where the arts are available to certain grade levels, they're only available for a fraction of the minutes that the students are in school for the whole year. So there's a gap in the disciplines that are taught, and then those that are taught are only taught, you know, a fraction of time. So there also is a real interest in more arts integration into classroom learning. There was an overwhelming agreement that administrators and teachers thought that the arts should be core curriculum. In addition, overwhelmingly, administrators and teachers agreed that arts have a great deal of impact on students who are not engaged, that also help students in academic achievement, motivation, and self-management. So there's lots of reasons that are known among the teachers and administrators that why the arts is important and should be expanded.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's important work. Now let's also talk about the Artisan School program that kind of works alongside this, right?
Yeah, but let me just first say that on November 7th, we're having a press conference for Ensuring the Arts for Any Given Child at the Orrville State Theater.
Oh, yes. Okay.
At 10 a.m. And everybody's welcome. It will only be a half an hour presentation and then 15 minutes for Q&A. So it's really for the press. But like I said, folks are welcome to come. The Nelson Avenue Advanced Band is going to perform for 10 short minutes. And then each of the superintendents from these districts is going to speak just for a minute or two about why the arts are important in their district. So that's happening. Turning on to then the Butte County Office of Ed Teaching Artists in the Schools program. This is a program near and dear to my heart. It started in 2019 in response to the devastating campfire in 2018. And I was at a forum at Chico State and with a bunch of artists from Butte County. And we were all shortly after the campfire brought together to talk about what kind of response we could have as artists to support the campfire. And this notion of teaching artists in the schools who had training in social emotional learning emerged. In fact, we had a presentation by the Sonoma County Arts Council that had developed that exact program in response to the Tubbs fire the year before. So I went with it and ran, used the Sonoma folks as consultants, and we developed a program similar to theirs that got funding from the Butte Strong Funds from the Northern California Community Foundation to get us started. And so we were able to train 20 artists in social emotional learning and also using the California art standards in lesson planning, and then place them for free in Paradise classrooms for a 10-hour residency. And the results have been phenomenal. I've documented and recorded the student response, and we represent a variety of disciplines in theater, music, visual art, and media arts. And we're on our third year, and I'm pleased to say that we were just awarded a California Arts Council grant in partnership with Friends of the Arts that will allow us to do some free residencies in 4 Orville schools starting in January.
Oh, that's great. You must be very proud. That is a heck of an accomplishment to do.
You know, thank you, Ray. And I'm proud. And I'm also just so like choked up and impressed by the artists that are here in Butte County. All of these folks are Butte County artists, and they know what they're doing. They have extensive experience in their discipline. They have some teaching experience, and they just embrace all the students who they're in contact with in these schools.
Yeah, and that is so great. And especially, you know, again, getting up into Paradise to get it started, and now it's coming to Oroville. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, listen, we wanted to mention one other thing today during the interview about an upcoming proposition.
Yeah, Ray, and I won't say too much about it. I'm not going to advocate for or against, but I just want to explain it's called Prop 28, mm-hmm. and it's going to be on the November 8th ballot, and it's called the Arts and Music Measure, and it will result, if passed, in a line item in the state budget allocated for hiring arts and music teachers in the K-12 public schools. It's a dedicated funding stream. It won't result in raising taxes, and it is unopposed on the ballot. That's coming up.
Yeah, that's good to know. And, you know, there's been obviously people that follow the governor's budget, and it's actually happening on a federal level as part of kind of the final COVID relief, you know, to, you know, when it, everything happened that, you know, in the beginning of 2020, everybody, things got a little crazy, and now it's like, okay, we need to help support all these organizations. So there is funding coming down, and it's great to see that it's arriving and starting to make a change in people's lives. So that's pretty
cool. I hope so. Yep. Thanks, Ray.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much. Is there a website or something if people have want more information about these programs you're involved with?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the BCOE.org.
Okay. BCOE.org.
Yeah, on that website, there's a tab that says Charter and District Support. And VAPA program is within those tabs.
Okay. Sounds great. Butte County Office of Ed.org, right?
BCOE. Correct. And you'll find the VAPA program. And I'm happy to hear from folks. You can get my email address on that website. And I am thrilled to be involved with arts education in Butte County.
All right. Well, we are thrilled to have you. And thank you for all the good work and all the years of service.
Okay, thank you, Ray.
All righty. Have a great evening.
Okay, you too.
a little Cisco kid for you here on Butte Views and Beyond. And I would like to introduce our final guest tonight, Alan Myers, who is with Regenerating Paradise. Alan, can you hear me out there?
I can. Thanks for having me on, Ray.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Thank you for taking time. I know we've been kind of going back and forth for the last couple of days. It sounds like we've both been on a kind of a mad run, but we're happy to have you on the program. And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you guys are doing and Regenerating Paradise. I know you've done this for a couple of years, and then, of course, you know, we had a few glitches kick in.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity, and, you know, I've been listening to KZFR since I was a high school kid going to Paradise High School, and I think my first donation was to All Mixed Up radio show.
So beautiful.
I just really love community radio. It is essential part of a healthy community, so really excited to be on the show. For folks listening, we have, you know, as many of you know, the anniversary for the campfire is coming up, and it's a really tender time for many of us. You know, personally, I lost my family's home, the home I grew up in, and, you know, it affected not only folks up on the Paradise Ridge and Concow and Magalia, but, you know, folks down in Chico as well, and homes opened up to us, and it's that spirit of community and that social fabric that we want to strengthen. And we know that the eyes of the world are on Paradise every anniversary. And so our hope is to draw people together, not only to honor the past and grieve together, but also celebrate a hopeful future and the recovery that is ongoing. And we do that by coming together, and then in that way we show the world that we're there, that we're here, and that we're resilient.
Yeah, it's definitely, and you know, it's happening. That's the beauty of it. And you know, in reading kind of the mission statement and about your organization, it's moving. It really is moving. You know, how to rebuild and replenish, you know, while regenerating, not depleting, yeah, but making greater, I guess, is a way to look at it.
Yeah, we're living in a pretty wild time. I don't think that anybody can deny the extremes that we're seeing. I think it's, you know, not only in the social settings, but it's in the environment, and we're being called to listen. We're being called to say, you know, these are extreme times. How do we gather? How do we address the underlying issues that are driving the disasters that we're seeing? And at Regenerating Paradise, we're a group that's taking pause and looking at those lessons and how we might incorporate them into our rebuilding efforts. And we do that by gathering and sharing what's working, what isn't, what we're noticing, what we want to do differently. We share ideas and resources. And so, you know, we've been gathering the community since almost immediately after the campfire. We're one of the first groups to put on a community event at the Terry Ash Rec Center. And it was that first meeting where it was an open invitation. You know, we saw frustrated community members getting 3 minutes at a town council meeting and knew that there was a strong need to gather the community. And so we rented the rec center, and 120 people showed up. And that first meeting then was the start of a nonprofit that continues today, Regenerating Paradise. And so we gather and we continue those conversations. And our biggest event is the Paradise Revival Festival. And so that happens near the anniversary, and it's coming up. So November 5th at the Terry Ash Rec Center, we're going to have musicians, local musicians who have, you know, not only lost their homes and instruments, but have come back to play music. And that's being produced by a new nonprofit, Paradise Arts Theater Culture Hub. That's one of the groups that we help facilitate into existence. And we're also going to have a speaker forum, and that's being co-produced with UC Davis. And so that's really talking about what are the lessons that we can learn from the campfire and what is possible right now. How do we live with fire because fire wants to exist on this landscape? And, you know, so we're going to have Jim Brashears, who's retired CAL FIRE Battalion Chief for Paradise and expert on, you know, some of the contributing factors to the campfire. And then we're going to have a second session on lessons learned. And Ali Metters Knight, dear friend and, you know, traditional ecological practitioner from the Machupta tribe, she'll be speaking on some of the indigenous practices that we can incorporate into our new paradise. And we're also going to be taking some community input. You know, this is a moment where we want to hear from people. What do you want to see for paradise? And we believe that when the community has its voice heard, when they get to be deciding what the future is and rebuilding, that there is transformational healing. That's when we take, you know, loss into transformational healing and opportunity. And so we want Paradise and other campfire-affected community members to be there to share what they would like to see. And, yeah, we'll have also the World Central Kitchen is partnering with us, and they're going to provide 300 free meals.
Oh, that's wonderful.
To attendees, yeah.
All right, very, very nice. And again, that's going to be on Saturday, November 5th?
That's right, a week from this Saturday. And we'll also have some vendors there. And if folks that are listening want to be a part of it, they can go to paradiserevival.com. We're still taking vendor applications until tomorrow. We're especially interested in folks who have stories where, you know, they lost their home in the fire and they took pause and they've created something new in their life. And we've seen a lot of, you know, most of our vendors are folks in that situation who've created something out of this loss and have a exciting story to share. So if that's you, please go to paradiserevival.com and sign up.
All right. That sounds great. And as far as people looking for information about both the organization and the celebration, the Revival Festival, just go to the website, regeneratingparadise.org, or is there a Facebook page as well?
Yep. Yeah, we're on social media, regeneratingparadise.org, and that's also our social media handle. And yeah, I would love to hear from you out there. What would you like to see? What do you feel is possible right now? And we'd like to co-create that with you.
Yeah, I love the fact that these things are, it's not top-down anymore. It's come, let's talk, and let's create, instead of somebody saying, I got an idea, here it is, let me sell it to you. So I love the way you guys are approaching this.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, we know that things aren't working. I think on both sides, people are just like, this isn't working. And really, it's the answers live with the communities, and it's going to be community-based solutions that are really going to be tackling the biggest challenges that we're facing, and that's where we really need to focus our energy, and that's what really has me motivated and excited to be doing this work.
Community-based solutions, man. There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time to join us, Alan. And again, that website, once again, is regeneratingparadise.org, correct?
That's right. Thanks so much for having me on, Ray. Really appreciate it.
All righty. Have a great evening. Thank you. All righty. It's about getting ready to wrap it up here on Butte Views and Beyond. Thank you for tuning in tonight. A little bit of Ken Clark. Let's thank a couple underwriters, and we'll head out into the evening. We want to thank D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and Community Radio in Northern California. More information, visit D.A. Lampe, L-A-M-P-E, construction.com. And also Mountain Sports, for over 45 years providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., 11 to 4 on Sunday at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico. And one more, Drunken Dumpling in Chico, serving locally sourced, fresh, handmade Asian comfort, fusion comfort food at 1414 Park Avenue, Suite 120, behind Nobby's. Open 4 p.m., 4 to 9 p.m., Tuesday through Thursdays, 11 to 9, Friday and Saturdays. Details on Facebook, Instagram, and at drunkendumplingchico.com, where they love food, flavor, and our community. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Butte Views and Beyond.